Good morning. Let's open in a word of prayer today. God, I just thank you for your goodness to us. What a great day this has already been. And Lord, I pray that as we open the Bible today, that you would help us to see so clearly what it is that you want us to do, how you want to do it, and may we be clear on why we're doing it. Lord, help us to just hear your voice today and to move forward. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, today is our Vision Sunday. This is a time that we once a year kind of pause and look back on all the goodness that God has done over this past year and look forward to what God is going to do and where we're going. We try to take time to talk about why are we here? Why are we doing this? And what is it that God wants us to do? And how should we go about it? So we are going to open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. So you can start to turn there if you like. I want to take a quick moment and just look back on this past year and all that has happened. It's really been amazing. It has been 2 years ago last month that my wife and I moved here from Portland, Oregon with our kids, Charlotte and Gideon, because God had put a dream in our hearts to be in Baltimore, to live in Baltimore, to start a church from scratch. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today and what that means, and it's just exciting to think about that. We had started off with only knowing Joe and Anna and started off the first week just meeting together, you know, on Sundays at first in Joe and Anna's house and then later in our house, and it was actually January about 2011, the first time we then kind of had a public Sunday meeting, and that was just a few blocks away over at the Village in the old Hamden Baptist building. And then from there, we soon had developed a relationship with the owners of the Rotunda Cinemas here and started doing church here every Sunday. And, you know, for quite a while, it was just a small handful of us because we have decided from the very beginning that we didn't want to try to just gather a crowd with spending a whole lot of money on advertising, but we wanted to really build relationships in the neighborhood and the community and get involved in the school and serving the school. And it's been amazing, just amazing to see what God has done. But this morning, in looking back, I want to actually focus on how generous you have been as a church. We had decided from the very beginning that God has already given us his best, and so we wanted to give away. We wanted to have what we called courageous generosity. And so every month we have sent money from what you have given as a church out to help missionaries and church planners and good work that's being done in everything from starting churches to providing education and health care and clean water for different people in different parts of the world in Southeast Asia, in different countries in Southeast Asia, and also in the Middle East, and with a couple of church plants here in the United States. We're just flipping through some of the pictures of some of the different countries and families that we have given to, and some of the people that they minister to, and even a little bit in Europe as well. And one of the things that is, you see some of the storm relief that we sent some funding to as well to try to help people that were victims of storms. But one thing that has really struck me as I look back on this past year is that most of the money that we have sent has gone to work that is being done in predominantly Muslim countries. And that really is an amazing thing when you think about it, that these are the opportunities that God has given us. And I just want to applaud you and just say how proud I am of you. I can definitely say that one of the things that you as a church have really grabbed onto the strongest right away from the beginning was this idea of giving away, even in our infancy, even at the very beginning, when you might be able to say that we have needs. You have been a generous church, and I am so very proud of you that is something that you do with joy and that you do with gladness. And it's an amazing thing, and I'm really proud to see what you have done. And since that time, we as a church have seen, we've seen funerals, we've seen weddings, we've seen water baptism, we've seen salvation, we've seen healing, we've seen jobs. How many of you here, since you came to this church have gotten either a job or a promotion. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I mean, look around the room. Look at all the people that have had, since they've been in this church, a new job or a promotion. God is, he believes in the home, right? He believes in you as an individual and your life and what you do every day and your marriage and your children. And it's just been amazing to see what God has done. Now, last month we did look at we looked at personal purpose. We started off in the book of Genesis, and then the next 2 weeks we looked at a series called Be Church, the nuts and bolts, the 101 of what it means to be a church. And we went from the end of Jesus' time here on earth right into the book of Acts and the story of what happened as a church. What we see is that the people that were closest to Jesus, that were right next to Jesus, their response to everything that he had told them to do and how he told them to live, their response was to start local churches inside cities. That's how they responded to Jesus and his life and what they told him to do. And they did so with a really simple focus. And so what I want to do just to get started is let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And let's read the Bible just to start us off here on Vision Sunday as we start off with a reminder of why we're here and what we're setting out to do. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Those who believed what Peter had said were baptized and added to that church about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now let's turn over the page just to continue this briefly. Chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Acts 4, 32 through 35. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great blessing was upon them all. There was no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Can you say amen to God's word? Now listen, with this great historical account of what the people did in immediately in response after Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then spending time with them, appearing to hundreds of them after he had come back from the dead, before he left to go to heaven. How did they respond? What did they do? Well, we see in the book of Acts a really clear account of what they did. They started local churches inside cities, and they did so with a really simple focus. Their focus was Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's very clear in listening to them and what they say to people and how they respond to people's questions that their focus was Jesus. Now, when we look at what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how they're doing it, we also see that they had a very simple focus on souls, on people coming to salvation in Jesus Christ. They didn't try to present themselves as having all the solution to all of society's problems. They didn't. Now they did feed people. They did help people in their practical lives, but they didn't present themselves as the end all, as the solution for everything. They had a really clear, simple focus on souls. And what you see in chapter 2 is that they had a really simple focus of gathering on the weekends at the temple in a bigger gathering in a public place. And so they were both gathered and scattered. And what that means is you see very clearly there in the passage that they also met in their homes where they loved on each other, laughed, shared food. You see a lot of stories about meals in the book of Acts as they shared meals with each other and they shared in the sacraments. Now, last month we talked a little bit about what that means and salvation and water baptism, and you see that there, but also in singing and prayer, but also in communion. And that's one reason why every week when we get together, we share in what some people call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, what we would call communion, where we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, his blood and his broken body. And that's why we do that on a regular basis. It's an important thing. It's something that the church did from its very beginning. And the other thing that you notice here beyond the miracles, which is what most people focus on, but they also prayed every time they got together. And that's another reason that we do that here as well. When we get together in house parties that we call life groups, or we get together on a Sunday morning for weekend worship, there is prayer. We believe that prayer is for everyone. And it's very clear because it's right here in the Bible. Now, let's turn to Psalm chapter 107. That's in the middle of your Bible, kind of the fast food section of the Bible, if you will. One of the things that happened for Rebecca and I in our journey of moving from Portland and the comfortable job and home that we had with our family and our friends was we just came to a place where every time we came to the Bible, all that we could see was church planning. It was a season of life where God was speaking to us about what he wanted us to do. But a very serious part of it became that when it was when people ask God what he wanted them to do, the immediate and direct result was often starting a church from scratch inside a city in a strategic location where there was density and diversity of population because people need Jesus. And in the midst of that and reading the book of Acts and focusing on the New Testament, God just completely interrupted me. Have any of you ever had that experience? God completely interrupted me and brought me to Psalm 107, and I want to read that to you because I feel it's a very important stretch of scripture for our church. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies, for he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love, for the wonderful things he has done for them, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." We'll pick up in verse 28. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, "and he saved them from their distress, and he calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great love, for the wonderful things he has done for them." Now, God just completely interrupted my life with this passage of scripture for quite a while with this idea that the church could be a place where they could settle. That the church should be, that the gathering of believers, which is what, you know, David is referring to here when he writes about this picture, the gathering of believers, people coming together who love God, would come to a place that God would provide for them a place where they belong, a place where they could have a spiritual family, a place where they could, that place that they, where they could settle, where they could call a home. And our vision for this church to be a church that serves the city, a city that is within the city, is a vision where it's about people finding a home, a place where they can find healing, a place where they don't have to wander anymore, a place where they don't have to be thirsty and hungry and broken and wandering around calling out for help, a place where the lonely can find a place where they belong, where they settle, where they find love. It's so important that we see that, that we think that way, that that's what's in our heart, that we have this picture. You see the picture here of them coming into a safe harbor, and obviously that is has been Baltimore's reputation, even from the very beginning. And, you know, we all know the story from Fort McHenry and Francis Scott Key and the Star Spangled Banner and the Battle of Baltimore and the War of 1812. And this has been a city of firsts, and it has been a city of freedom, a city that has always prided itself in freedom. And we believe that it is to be, again, a place of spiritual freedom. Now, let's try to talk a little bit in more specifics to define what we're talking about. This picture here is a picture of Joe's truck. when we got here 2 years ago in August, we had a truck that was bringing our stuff in, and the driver, the house that we live in, just 3 blocks from here, has a really narrow street. And the driver didn't want to drive down his truck down the street because he was worried he wouldn't be able to make it the whole way. And the reason that we had booked that company is because the only people that we knew here were Joe and Anna. And as some of you know, Joe has a broken neck. He's got hardware installed and, you know, by the grace of God is alive. And because of an accident, you know, really wasn't supposed to be here. And so I didn't want for Joe to have to be lifting anything or carrying anything. And so, you know, with all of our stuff, we had it on this truck, but this guy stopped at the end of the street and didn't want to drive down the street to where our row home is. And we see Joe's truck here because what we ended up doing is we would load stuff from the big truck into Joe's truck and then drive it down the street and then load it from Joe's truck into the house. And literally everything in our home was loaded that way. I can't thank Joe and Anna enough, but I don't know where we would be. What would have happened if it were not for Joe and his truck helping us get the rest of the way? You know, all the stuff had come on the truck, you know, 3,000 miles coast to coast across the country, but we needed help to get it the rest of the way into the house. And that's really a part of what this church is. It's about Jesus, but people need help as they access the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. They need someone to help them get the rest of the way. And that's what we want to be as we build relationships. We want to help people get the rest of the way. As you see here on the screen, you know, my personal mission is that I live to love Jesus. It's why I exist. It's why I exist. I live to love Jesus. I live to bring people to Him. Not to me. I'm not the answer man. I'm not the guru. I live to bring people to Jesus. This is resulting in a church being built one family at a time. You see, this is not a church that has a vision, that has its own ideas, human ideas. We believe that God's vision has a church in mind. We'll come back to that in just a second. That's an important thought. Now, people see, you see the pictures that we have up here, people see Baltimore in a whole lot of different ways. A lot of people focus on the problems of Baltimore. Some people see cathedrals like you see there, and they think, oh, Baltimore has so many churches, and they don't realize that a lot of these are shut, are shuttered, there's not believers even meeting in them, or some of them where there's just a few believers meeting there, but many, many empty seats. I believe that Jesus did not die for empty seats. Amen. I believe that Jesus died for people, the people that are in their homes, out on the streets, in the bars, in the pubs, wherever they are. That's what Jesus died for. Some people look at Baltimore, as you see there, and they see the urban blight. But a part of what I see when I look at Baltimore is a beautiful city. A city with great variety in architecture, a city with great history, with great culture, a city that has its own identity. That's one of the reasons that we moved here. We love the fact that Baltimore has an identity. It has a culture. There's a lot of cities that just don't have that anymore. And what you see in Baltimore, you know, 2.8 million people in the city, you literally see hundreds of thousands of children that are living here, that their present and their future is here. Children that need Jesus, that need loving homes. And I think what, unfortunately, a lot of believers that I've met in the city do not see is the things that are improving. As you see on the screen here, over this past year, our murder rate is the lowest that it has been since 1977. Amen? Come on, that's an answer to prayer. The murder rate is the lowest since 1977. School dropouts are half of what they were in 2007. Half. That's huge, just in 4 years. Now, the lowest, and we've also had this past year, the lowest fire death total since 1938. The lowest number of people dying in a fire. What we've also seen over this past year is new churches being started in the city. And pastors in churches are starting to join in prayer again. Now, unfortunately, one of the things that we learned before moving here and after having moved here is that there had been movements of pastors joining together, working together, that had fallen apart, really crumbled, and there had become even a lot of distrust in between believers in the city, where there was friction, where there was frustration. Now, we're seeing now answers to prayer, and when I look at Baltimore, that's what I see. I see beauty. I see something amazing. Now, why are we here? Why would you start a new church? Well, let's look at these three basic ideas. Why would we do this? Well, number one, people need Jesus. I think about your own life. Where would you be without Jesus? People need Jesus. There's 2.8 million people in Baltimore. People need Jesus. Now, what's very clear in the Bible and in history is that the church is God's vehicle of hope. Number two, the church is God's vehicle of hope. It is. It is how God's vision of seeing changed lives, which you see from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through, God's vision of helping people come to Him, come into relationship with Him, God who is the only real source of love, hope, peace, and joy. He wants to love on people, but they separate themselves from Him with sin. And from the very beginning, we see God's vision, His hope, His dream, is to bring people through faith in Him into a love relationship with Him that benefits them. And what we see through the Bible is it leads through the story of Jesus. The salvation we can find in Jesus is the birth of the church. And God makes it very clear that His plan means that the church is God's vehicle of hope. Number three, we cannot start churches fast enough. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if we look at empirical data, we look at all the information that's out there about the decline, 80% of churches in the United States are in decline. Less than 4% of churches in the United States are ethnically diverse, where there's not one ethnicity that is 80% or more of the congregation. And in Baltimore City, that would represent not loving people God's way. That would represent not the solution that God has in mind, because Baltimore City is ethnically diverse, and there is not, if you look at it being 2 out of 3 people inside the city limits are African American, 1 out of 3 outside in the greater metropolitan area are African American. What that means is that the metro area as a whole does not have a true majority. And we are not seeing churches that are relevant, that are reaching their community in a relevant way with the Bible, that are bringing people into contact with the God of the Bible, introducing them to repentance, to salvation in Jesus, that Jesus is the answer. And what we see is a lot of churches that are shuttered, that are closed, that are not functioning or are not full. But even if you totaled up the number of seats in every church that is available in Baltimore City, there are not enough seats in Baltimore City for everyone to hear about Jesus, let alone come into relationship with Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? We don't have enough seats. We cannot start churches fast enough. That's why we're here. That's why we want to start a new church. Now, is our focus simple? What is the simple focus on Jesus and souls that we see in the Bible? Well, what you see here, our focus is on salvation. What is salvation? That means a fresh start, a second chance at life. By turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, we're provided an opportunity to be new. You'll hear us here at CBC often say, hey, there's no perfect people here, no perfect people allowed. We all need a fresh start, and nobody walks alone. Now, if we're going to gather in a church, if we're going to do church, why are we doing this? What is the end goal in mind? How do we know if you are a follower of Jesus and you're growing into spiritual maturity? How do we know? Am I growing up? Am I a grown-up in Jesus? Well, let's talk about that real quick. Spiritual maturity is easily defined with these 3 points. It means I have intimacy with God. Number one, intimacy with God. And what we find in many different passages of the Bible is that God wants to have a relationship with you where he's talking with you, you're hearing from him through the word and in other ways, and you are open with him, you are following him. There is a relationship with him that is growing. See, if you're not wanting to pray, if you're not wanting to be in the Bible, you are either not a believer or you are not spiritually healthy. God, by his mercy and grace, wants to bring you to a place where your spiritual appetite wakes up and where you want to be in his presence. So if I'm a mature believer, number one, intimacy with God. Now, number two, this leads to community with insiders. Number two, community with insiders. And what that by insiders, what I mean is other believers. So local church, a set group of people at a set place and set time. I have real community. That means we share life together. We laugh together. We cry together. We help each other. And it's amazing to see what God has done here in this church in this regard. We see people helping each other move. Now that's a sacrifice. No one likes to move, right? No one likes to deal with the boxes and the headache and the stress. And you know that when you see people helping each other move, that they're growing up, right? And we've already seen that here. Now, number three, how do I know we're growing up spiritually? Number three, influence with outsiders. Meaning that people who are not yet a Christian are wanting to be around you. I mean, are you a drag? Are you a bummer? Are you a downer? Or are you a person that has a hobby, has a life, has some actual real joy, has some stability and strength that even when you're going through hard times, people want to be around you? Are you that kind of person that people come up to and say, hey, why are you not stressed out? Why are you different? What's going on with you? And they ask you questions, just like people wanted to be around Jesus, in a way where you now have a bridge of relationship where through your life, you've proven what Jesus means to you. And so now you've built a bridge of relationship to drive across a payload of truth, if you will, to share with them the gospel of Jesus, that it's Jesus that brought you to that place. So it's a very short, simple, clear look, summarizing a lot of scripture and a lot of what we believe here. Why would we do this? What's our focus? And what is a win? Well, for each individual person, we want them to have an intimacy with God, a community with insiders, and an influence with outsiders. See, we believe that the picture that God has given us of the church, which you can see in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians and so many other places, it brings us to a place that affects very real, very powerful change with individuals. And when individuals come together, see, we believe that the church is a great place to connect with God. And by God, we're clear on what we're talking about, the God of the Bible, who represented himself through Jesus, right? The church is a great place to connect with God, and the church is a great place to connect with people. Life-giving relationships with other people that are not a drain, that don't pull you down. And what that will do is that will lead to a change in our society. I believe that some of the very real changes in Baltimore City, some of the things that have already improved since we got here, have come because of prayer. Prayer gets God involved, God gets involved, and God works through people. And there are real people that can see real change. In the spring of 1623, there was a major drought here, and William Bradford called a fast, they prayed, and it rained, and it turned around the problem that they were facing that could have, quite frankly, wiped out the population. This is the kind of thing that God is doing here in our midst. Now, How are we going to do this? We understand the why, kind of the what and the who, but how? How are we going to do this? Now, we've chosen to describe this with, in our big three. Our big three are connect, grow, and share. Connect, grow, and share. It's how we communicate. Why are we here, and who's doing it, and what are we doing, and how are we going to do it, and how do we know if it's been a success? It's those three words help us understand all of that. Now, I don't want you to get worried or stressed out here. This church is simple by design. It's simple for a reason. We do two things in this church in the how. One is weekend worship, and one is life groups. I mentioned them before, but it's very, very simple. Why do we do it that way? Well, we believe that gathering as a group to pray and worship is important. Gathering as a smaller group, it makes relationship available and possible in ways that it can't happen in the big group. And we believe that if we do it that way, it gives you time during your week to be a believer, to have a relationship with God, to be a good neighbor, where your neighbors actually like you, actually want to be around you, to be a good citizen, to be involved in your neighborhood and your community, to make a difference. Not because you're just wearing the church t-shirt and trying to get people to come to your church as a human organization, recruiting, but because you are a follower of Jesus and you actually want to help. But we believe that the church has to be designed in a way that gives you the time to do that. Does that make sense? Now, let's dig down a little bit into our big three, okay? Our big three, connect, grow, share. Now, one of the easiest ways for you to connect with the God of the Bible and with other people, life-giving relationships with other people, one of the easiest ways for you to connect is in the weekend worship, right? That's why we get together every Sunday here in the theater, 10 a.m., 10 to 11:30, right? To give you a predictable, safe, good environment where you can connect with the God of the Bible, where you know every Sunday we're going to open the Bible, we're going to learn more about Jesus and what difference it means in our life. Every Sunday we're going to spend time in prayer. Every Sunday we're going to spend time singing our worship. Every Sunday we're going to spend time in the communion and the Lord's Supper and that reminder, that refresher that Jesus is alive and real and walking among us and his healing power is real. We want to help you connect through weekend worship. Also, number two, grow. One of the easiest ways we have found for you to be able to grow is through life groups, so getting together in homes and having relationships. You could call running partners, people that will run alongside you, and you can run together and ask each other questions and keep each other on task and pointed the right direction so that you can grow. And our third, share, one of the easiest ways that we can do that is through courageous generosity, serving our city, and serving the church. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a second. Now, what is it that we want to do? How do we want to grow coming up in this coming year? Now, let's take it through our big three, connect, grow, share. Now, we have been, last year, we were probably averaging 6 or 7 people that were getting together on a Sunday, and we really started to grow this year, one family at a time, and we've been in a place where from the people that come to kind of check us out, people that maybe are not yet believers in Jesus, where we've kind of started to average just over 40 people on a Sunday morning. Well, what we realize is that if we're going to have a significant impact in this neighborhood and representing Jesus and reaching out to people, we need to do a little bit better in how we welcome people when they first get here, in our signage and how they can find us, and in the ministry that's available for the kids, for children, because that's really important. Now, in order for us to do that, what we need to do is get to a place where we are 50 strong. You see that on the screen, 50 strong. Now, Pastor Ben, what are you talking about? It's not about numbers. It's about Jesus. Yes, that's true. But let me talk about that just a little bit. You may or may not know, like the room that we're sitting in now, we've just moved to be able to make more room for our kids. And it's around 75 seats. We have this room about 75 seats, and then the room that the older kids can meet in that's also about 75 seats, and then the city kids room that's a little bit smaller than that where the younger kids have class. Now, what we also have right here in the Rotunda Cinemas is two 130-seat theaters as well. Now, what you may not know is that we can, whenever we're ready, move into one of those rooms for 130 seats at no additional rent. We don't have to pay any more rent. We're ready to move in there. And we already have almost the entire sound system that we need to move into one of those bigger rooms. We're almost ready for that. Now, what is this deal with numbers? Well, think about this. What did God do in your life? Now, do you have a family member or a close friend that you would like to experience the love, the hope, the peace, and joy that you have experienced? Well, there are thousands of people here that don't know that. There are thousands of people right within walking distance of this building that don't know that. And if each of us, if each one can bring one to Jesus, to Sunday church, to homes and small groups, if each one can bring one, then not only will we be at 50 strong adults that are believers in Jesus, that are serving Jesus, that are serving the church, that are serving their neighborhood, their city, and their kingdom, but we will have a much more significant presence in this building. It'll be much easier for people to find us when they are looking for a church, and we will be at a place where we'll be moving into one of the larger rooms and be able to reach more people. Do you know that we've done almost nothing to advertise in the universities that are right next to us, a few universities that are right next to us here, and the assisted living facilities that are right next to here? We have thousands upon thousands of people, not in a traditional family home situation, that may be natives of Baltimore, generations in this city, or transplants from other places that need Jesus, that need to hear about Jesus. And until we can grow a little bit stronger, we don't have what we need even on a Sunday morning to be able to help them. Right now, we currently have about half of our monthly expenses. That money comes from within, from you, a generous church, and about half of that that comes from the outside, from churches that support us. Now, we want to get to a place where we completely support ourselves, but guess what? As we reach more people, our expenses are going to increase as well. And because God loves people and God wants changed lives and people to come into relationship with Jesus, we need to be ready for that. Amen? We need to be at a place where each one of us is bringing one other person into relationship with Jesus, into the church, helping them grow and change and share in their faith so that they are strong. So we get to 50 strong, which I believe can happen soon. We'll be at a place where we'll be able to get to 100 strong and be better positioned to represent Jesus to the thousands of people, literally thousands of people that live within walking distance of this building. Now, grow, life groups. I don't know if you are aware, but we just this week grew from 6 to 9 small groups, these house parties that we call life groups. We're at 9 life groups, and we've put out, there's a paper right there at the back of the room where you can see a list of the names of the leaders, their phone numbers, and the neighborhood that they meet in. We have life groups in different neighborhoods in this city, and thankfully the ones that are close to this building that are Bible studies, that are classes that are going through a book, and places where you can find community. Now, what we want to do is as soon as we can, in a strong way, as soon as we can with strength, we want to grow from 9 life groups to 15. One of the things that we heard most often when we talked to people coming into this neighborhood new that they didn't have, that they wanted to have, was a Bible study. That's what they want. Now, I don't know if you realize, but God is great not only because nothing is too big for Him. It's not too big for Him to have someone give us a building. Just give us one of these buildings. That's not too big for Him. But God is also great because there's nothing is too small for Him. You might be a believer that grew up in Baltimore City and is not in a church, or maybe a student that came from out of state that's here for college, and what they really are craving is a Bible study. Maybe they're not even grown up to enough to know that they want a church, but they want to know. They're not sure if they believe in God, or they're struggling in their marriage or parenting their kids or with their finances. They need a Bible study or a class where they can go through a book where they can learn how to do that. Well, listen, folks, we need to start more of these. We need to grow up in this area so that we can better serve our community. Now, number three, share. We're going to make a shift in how we do our courageous generosity. It has been something where we prayed over what God would have us give every individual, the family, and we made a commitment of that number of what we were going to give for courageous generosity. And we did that really between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And what we're going to do is make a shift. Going forward, we're going to make this an October 1 to September 30th commitment. So starting tomorrow, we want to be praying about, God, what do you want us over 12 months, over 1 year? What's the dollar number that you want us to give? Now, what we're talking about is above your normal giving. You may be tithing, giving an offering, above your normal giving that helps cover our expenses, which obviously we need to grow in as well. Above that, what would God have you give over the next year where we could show courageous generosity, because God has already given us his best, right? Because God's already given us his best. What number would God have you to give so that we can make a difference with missionaries and people? Last year, one of the things that we helped provide was 4,900 Bibles into an area that did not have a Bible in their language. How many of you think that's a good idea? Now, what kind of things would God have us do? We want to be ready. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you had a really close friend that all of a sudden had a need that popped up, but you couldn't afford to do anything to help them with that need. It's not a very good feeling, is it? We don't want to be in that place. We want to have a courageous generosity fund that 12 months out of the year, we are giving consistently that money away to places that have need, and where we are ready when there is a strategic need, like a couple of the storms that happened over the past year and a half as we've given money away, where we're ready to make a difference. And we want to do that. So I want you to take this seriously, and I want you to pray about it and ask God what he would have you give. And then on Sunday, October 21st, we're going to pray over those commitments. Okay? Sunday, October 21st, we're going to pray over those commitments and give them to God and just say, God, this number, it might seem impossible for me. It's not impossible to you. I want to give it away so that we can make a difference. Now, what we also want to do is for each of us to be praying about, how does God want me personally to be generous with my time, my energy, and my money? I should be trying to live a life where I have got margin, where I can set aside some of my time, some of my energy, some of my money to be a good friend, a good neighbor, a helper to the people that are around me and in my life. And during the course of the year, we're going to do courses of action, where we serve the city in a very real way. When we talk about connect, grow, share, a part of that is we want to share with the city. We want to be a city that loves the city and makes a difference in the city. And so part of our courageous generosity funds will help us with that. But a part of it is going to mean you taking action, joining us in strategic ways, or even finding for yourself ways that are opportunities for us to get involved with the city and make a difference. And then obviously, as we've already talked about, across the United States and other countries, we want to make a difference as well. Okay, now let's just look at some more detailed statements to help you see how we can make a difference. I hope this is making sense to you. I hope that you see that in our weekend worship and in our life groups, we really can bring change to the areas that you've been frustrated about and to the areas where you see a need for change. I don't know if you ever heard about this, but the Dell computers really busted the warehouse myth by having parts for the computers and laptops that they built delivered just 2 hours before the laptop was scheduled to ship. Just 2 hours. From the parts arriving to them being assembled into the computer and getting shipped. They had an idea that you don't need to have huge warehouses of all these different parts of the computer that are stored up. But no, we want to keep up with the speed of demand of change in computers and have smaller warehouses and have a better ability to have your best stuff on the street. Did you catch that? I think God wants to have his best stuff on the street. And you need to believe that you are God's best stuff. You are his best stuff. God wants to have his best stuff on the street. And that can happen in your homes, in small groups, and in a lot of different ways. Now, let's look at these "we see a church" statements. These are some phrases, some sentences that help you see what I'm talking about and where we see our church going over this next year. We see a church loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. You hear what I'm saying? We see a church loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. We see a church where there are believers who love Jesus in crazy ways and gives them the peace and joy that it gets people talking. What is different about that person? We see a church where people find salvation and healing in Jesus. Oh, that's so good. That second one there. We see a church where people find salvation and healing in Jesus. Listen, don't get it mixed up. This is not about us providing some great human organization that people can come to and get their questions answered. No, this is about Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, people find salvation. They find forgiveness of their sins, a fresh start, and healing, miracles. We will not stop short of praying and asking God for miracles. We believe that whether it's you as an individual out on the street or in our homes, in the life groups or a house party or in church on a Sunday, that we're going to see salvation and miracles of healing. Amen? And number three, we see a church helping people find careers and peaceful homes. See, we believe that God wants us to help show people a life that works, marriages where there's a romance between the husband and wife that people talk about, where there's peace in the home and there's joy in the home, where the parents are good parents of their children, and careers where people are finding vocation. They're finding not just a job that stinks that they hate, but work that they love, where they love getting up in the morning. They don't need three alarm clocks to get up in the morning. And number four, we see a church where everyone can find a place that they fit. And we've talked about what it means to belong. God wants you to be able to feel like you belong. Where everyone, regardless of their background, regardless of what they're going through and their challenges, where everyone, no matter where they grew up or what their education or economic level is or what their addictions are, where everyone can find a place they fit. And number five, we see a church serving the city with love that works. Our city needs to see people that work. They need to see service and solutions that actually answer the question, that actually solve the problem. We see a church serving the city with love that works. Now, a few years ago, as we were getting ready to move here and to jump out into this journey. There was a guy who picked me out of a crowd and shared some verses of scriptures with me that I believe are key in our journey as a church, and I want to share them with you. You'll see them on the screen here. This is what I believe God has spoken to us as a word to us. Now, I want you to believe this. I want you to start to see Baltimore the way Nehemiah saw the city of our God, because I believe that we're called, like Nehemiah, to move in, to rebuild, to restore, and to repurpose. Amen? Do you hear me? God wants us to move in, rebuild, restore, and repurpose. If you want to become a member of this church, I want you to go back and listen to the purpose message and the Be Church, the two messages immediately after that, those 3 weeks in a row, and call Rebecca and I, email us, let's set up a meeting and let's sit down and talk about that and talk about what God's done in your life and make a commitment where you can take ownership in this church, where you can get involved in this church. Let's look at these open door scriptures. First from Isaiah 30, verse 21, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God's going to lead us. He's going to direct us. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 says, see, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. See, God's given us open doors. No one else, there's opportunities that we've had that no one else gave us. It's been opportunities just from God, and I believe that's not going to stop. That's going to continue, and it's going to get more dramatic. The third verse, open doors here, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 2 and 3. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. God has promises for us. He has a plan for us. He wants to make a difference in our church, through our church, in this city, in a way that matters. Amen? In a way that brings families. I mean, look at these pictures. Who knows where God has us to go? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has prepared for us. God loves you so much. He cares for you. He prepares heaven for you. And here while we're on this earth, we have an opportunity to step into a life of faith. That means being convinced enough that to take action on God's promises and to live a life of courageous generosity that is a love for all people, where we can make a difference here in Baltimore and beyond. I believe God's going to do it as we take ownership of this church together and as we jump into the big three and the connect, grow, and share. We'll be able to look back and see that we've helped people connect with God. We've helped people grow in their faith. We've helped people share the love that Jesus gives them. How many of you think this sounds like a good idea? Here, let's close in prayer. God, I thank you so very much for what you've already done. It's amazing, God, the way that you've already orchestrated everything that's happened so that we could be here today. Thank you. God, I thank you that you forgave each of us, that we have salvation and faith in you. And God, I pray that you would help us to get a hold of why we're here and what we're doing and how you want us to do what you set before us, and help us to take ownership in this church, that we would see ourselves as the church and we would see the opportunities that we have before us. You'd help us to get inspired and to find strength in the coming together in a strategic way. I thank you for dreams. And I thank you, Lord, that you can help heal us where we've become broken and where our faith has become bruised and where different things in life has brought us to a place where it's hard for us to dream. I pray that you'd bring healing and you'd bring us back to a place where we can dream again, where our faith is restored, where it is not bruised, weak, or broken anymore, but we have faith in you and we see what you see for our lives. And we see what you see for the lives of people around us. God, I thank you for what you're doing here in Baltimore City, in City Bible Church. In Jesus' name, amen.